you're listening to the AHDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Welcome to today's AHDB Dairy podcast, which is entitled Success in Transition. We're starting this conversation in the advent of a new campaign of meetings that will be taking place across the country. I'm Steve West, and I'm joined by Chris Hudson, Associate Professor at the University of Nottingham Vet School. And today we'll be discussing some of the ways we can assess if we have a problem with transition in our cows and some of the areas that we could focus on. So, Chris, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself and what your role is at Nottingham Vet School?
Sure. I qualified as a vet a little under 20 years ago now, and I've been working in the dairy industry mostly ever since. I've been at Nottingham for just over 10 years, and my role here is about 50% teaching, so half of my time is spent mostly teaching vet students at the later end of the course about the herd health aspects, particularly of working with dairy herds and how we can give good advice to dairy farmers about management. And I also do quite a bit of research, especially around making good use of the data that gets recorded in dairy herds.
And of course, today we're talking about transition, and I know you've been involved in transition and in the herd across at Nottingham, but there is some confusion about what cow transition actually is, so what the transition phase is. So with those differing opinions, how do you define the transition phase?
Essentially, it's the period either side of calving, fairly obviously. The precise number of days that you put on that, for me, starts to become not that critical. It's the kind of 20 to 35 days, I guess, either side of calving. So particularly the last 3 weeks pre-calving and the first 30 to 40 days of lactation, for me, that's really critical. And there's obviously, if you stop and think about it, a huge amount going on for a cow in that time. She's got huge sudden changes in nutrient demand. Being a heavily pregnant dairy cow is not that energy or calcium demanding. Suddenly you calve and within a week or so, you might be producing 40 or 50 litres of milk a day. That's quite a big step change.
Yeah, well, I can imagine it. I think working in this industry, everybody's always talking about transition. So why is transition so important?
Fairly obviously, it's the kind of key moment in the production cycle for the prevention of quite a number of diseases. So some of those are very clearly related to how we manage cows through nutrition and through other aspects of transition. So things like milk fever, LDAs, twisted stomachs, those kind of very clearly have a route in transition and happen very much at that time. So those are in some ways what you might call classic transition cow diseases. But there's quite a few other diseases where they often do have their roots in transition, but that might be much less obvious to you as a farmer or a consultant. So for mastitis now, it's been recognised for quite a long time. The dry period is really important. I think most people are really starting to get the message that mastitis occurring in the first 30 days post-calving often is the result of an infection that gets in during the dry period. So that transition is a key risk moment for that to happen. But perhaps even less obviously, again, it's really important for lameness as well. So there's a lot of changes that happen in a cow's foot around the time of calving that really kind of magnify the effects of pressure on a cow's sensitive hoof tissue at that moment. So spending too much time standing up, essentially in the few weeks either side of calving, is a really important determinant of that cow's risk of going lame with a sole ulcer or white line disease later on in that lactation. And with lameness, that can be much later on. So lameness that occurs at kind of 60 to 120 days in milk may well have its roots back in that transition period. As well as that, transition is really a kind of key moment for energy balance for a cow as well. So her big risk of experiencing negative energy balance, so using more energy, particularly for milk production, than she can take in, is really the beginning of lactation, where her milk yield will often go up at a faster pace than her feed intake. And that's often the reason that underlies quite a few of those diseases. So energy balance is a key determining factor of the risk of things like a retained placenta or metritis. But if you don't get energy balance right in early lactation, it can also have big knock-ons for fertility. So particularly for the conception rate half of that, if you have a poor transition for a cow, that's going to knock on into making it harder to get that cow pregnant. And that can have quite a long hangover period. So the effects of transition can again last well into kind of the first 100 odd days in milk. Plus, as we all know, the beginning of the lactation curve kind of sets the tone for that cow's production for the rest of lactation. The smoother we can make that transition, the quicker her yield's going to go up and the better she's going to milk for us.
That's fantastic. I mean, clearly there are so many factors that signify you've got a transition issue, and you can see that. But we hear often about body condition score and how that's related to transition. So, you know, how important is this, and what would you say are the targets?
I'd say it's really important, and fat cows in particular are likely to be a problem here. So these will generally have lower intakes around the time of calving and a bigger dip around that time. And the cow is also more liable to mobilize her body fat to meet energy needs. And that has a number of, that's essentially the root of a lot of energy related problems. Targets, again, there's a bit of controversy around this. And I think my targets, when I talk to colleagues from the US particularly, I think my aims and aspirations here are slightly on the slimmer side of what they would sometimes aim for. So I'd like to see cows kind of 2¾ to 3 at calving with no change across the dry period. So same condition at drying off and calving, and a maximum of about 0.5 point loss between calving and peak. So it's obviously very hard to get cows very tightly clustered around those target scores. There's always a little bit of spread, but the more uniform we can get them at those points, the happier I'm going to be, and the happier and healthier generally the cows are going to be. And those are generally, you know, that 0.5 condition score point loss seems to be achievable even in really high yielding herds. So even in herds where cows might be peaking at 55, 60 litres a day, we often seem to be able to get an awful lot of them through transition without losing more than 0.5 point of loss. They must just be able to eat more than we think in early lactation. And in terms of kind of managing condition score, the critical period is really the end of the previous lactation. So the time to try and get this right is before you dry the cow off at the end of the last lactation. That's when you've got the most scope to change condition score.
So that can go up or down, presumably, can it? So you've got control over whether it goes up or down?
Yeah, absolutely. So at that point, they're still milking. So you still have got the ability to get weight off them in most systems. That becomes quite difficult once they're in the dry period, and potentially dangerous if you crash dieting, if you like, during the dry period is potentially not a good idea either. But yields at the end of lactation are generally such that you've also got scope to get a bit more energy in. Obviously, exactly how you do that will be very heavily dependent on your system. It's relatively straightforward in some systems. In a kind of single ration, true TMR system, that's a bit more challenging.
So what about other targets? We've spoken about body condition score targets, but actually when we're looking at transition disease, where do you set your targets for where your herd should be for all of these different diseases?
I think there's a number of things that can be kind of indicators of a transition problem. As you're kind of suggesting there, each of the transition diseases that we mentioned will have its own targets. And a lot of the time, this can vary a bit from herd to herd. So it comes down to the kind of age-old picture of trying to set achievable and time-bound targets. So some of this, you know, your initial target for something will depend a little bit where you start from. And some of them are a little bit yield dependent as well. Some of these things are harder to manage at very high levels of production. But certainly anything above about 3 or 4% of calvings affected by milk fever, 1 to 2% for LDAs, twisted stomachs, those things are suggestions that something might not be right. And if you're approaching 5% for either of those diseases, really on any system, there's probably scope to be able to do that better. And obviously, we don't really have time to talk through what the targets are for each of the individual diseases. Probably an area where some kind of outside vet or other consultancy time can be a really useful investment. But there are quite a few other clues that you might have a transition issue. So conception rates we mentioned, if you can look at how conception rate in the herd changes with days in milk, so as cows move through lactation, if the problem really has its roots in transition, you'll quite often see a pattern whereby conception rates are quite poor quite early on, but improve later. Sometimes start a bit better, then have a dip and then bounce back again. Again, we can see that pattern with transition related things. Sometimes cows are slower to reach peak lactation if they have a poorer transition. And there's other emerging ways to monitor that are being explored at the moment. So there's quite a bit of research work around, can we do anything with the increasing amount of sensor data that's now being generated by lots of herds? Is there anything we can do with more advanced type of milk analysis to either kind of measure transition success at herd level or to try and flag up for us cows where we feel this may not have worked? And for me, another really key target is dry matter intake during the pre-calving part of transition. So depending on how you group cows, that might be harder or easier to monitor. But if you have a kind of classic pre-calver transition group, so 21 days pre-calving up to the point of calving, then monitoring dry matter intake in that group can be really quite useful. And I'd be looking for at least 12 to 14 kilos of dry matter eaten per cow per day in that group. That's going to vary a little bit with the size of your cow, but that's a good ballpark to be in. Just be a bit cautious with that one, that if you have a smallish transition cow group, that could be very swayed by having a few cows that happen to be very close to calving. But that's another key thing to try and get right for me.
Excellent. And a key point you mentioned there was speaking to outside help and making that investment. So from a consultant's perspective, have you ever been involved in solving a herd's problems with transition?
Yeah, I do quite a lot of consultancy work of various types with dairy farmers. And I think anyone that does that is going to get involved in transition sooner or later. And this is on the agenda for most herds, every herd really that I work with. So I could come up with lots and lots of examples. One that kind of springs to mind is a herd that I worked with a couple of years ago now. Very nice, well-designed greenfield new builds. They'd set up a new unit a couple of years before I met them. Really well-designed unit. They'd taken a lot of really good advice during the design and build phase. Not mine, I should add. Can't claim any credit for that. And they had a really nice straw yard that was designed for their dry cow housing. And there was a small milking cow area on the end of that as well. So at the point when I met them, the dry cows in that system were more heavily stocked than I felt they should be. So they were kind of meeting the standard industry guidelines. But this was a fairly high producing herd with aspirations to be a bit higher producing again. And the cows didn't have the amount of space that I felt they needed to hit that sort of potential. Feed space was similarly limited. So they were about 65 centimetres a cow. The sort of cows and the sort of level of yield they aspired to, I would have been looking for kind of 85, 90 centimetres a cow. And they were seeing a lot of LDAs in early lactation. Their disappointing fertility performance. And when we looked into that, that was very strongly related to disappointing conception rates to early lactation, particularly first serves. And they weren't hitting the production aspirations they'd had when they set the system up. So they kind of set it up wanting to get to 12,000 litres a cow a year, and they were at somewhere around 10,000. So we looked at the kind of pinch points in that system and thought, well, what can we do with the resources that we've got to try and manage that better? So the plan we came up with was to move the early part of the dry period into cubicle housing, so to free up some space in their cubicle shed by stocking the lows group, the later lactation milkers, slightly tighter. To free up some cubicles, we put the early dry cows in there. That freed up lots more space in the straw yard for the transition cow group. So we were able then to stock them at the space allowance that I felt they should be at, which is about 13, 14 square meters per cow. And it also gave them substantially more feed space just through the nature of the dimensions of the yard. And with some more of the room, we also enlarged the amount of the yard that was dedicated to milking cows. And we made that a dedicated fresh cow group. So before, cows had calved in the transition group, move just the other side of the gate into the milking cow straw yard. So relatively kind of low stress group change at the point of calving. But then because the yard was quite small and because there was often a couple of cows with LDAs in there, maybe the odd lame one as well, those fresh calvers were often kind of bouncing almost straight out into the cubicle group 2 to 5 days post calving. So relatively common system, but one that has potential to have a really negative impact on intakes, because that fresh calver milking cow straw yard group is going to be really socially unstable. There was cows joining that group and leaving every day, and potentially was quite problematic from an intake point of view just at the most critical moment. So we made that space much bigger so that we could keep cows in there for at least 3 weeks post-calving, ideally a bit more time dependent on calving pattern and space. And alongside that, we looked for other tweaks we can make to try and get intakes up in the transition group a little bit, because again, they were also not hitting where I felt they should be. They weren't hitting the targets we mentioned a moment ago. So those were pretty minor things. We looked at where the net rail was placed. There was a lot of cows that were in contact with the net rail as they were eating. So we offset that over the feed passage, lifted it slightly. We put in a smooth feed surface, so a resin paint type feed surface that just made it easier to keep clean. The cows seemed to prefer eating down off onto those slightly. We made some minor tweaks to the ration. And those were all really pretty small things. None of those were big financial investments at all. There wasn't a huge amount of additional labour involved in anything. They were just about trying to reprioritise resources so that we really focus on the transition period. And I quite like this as an example because they're a really satisfying group to work with. So your transition cow group is a very small proportion of the cows on the farm, generally only 3 weeks worth of calvings. So things that you change in that group often don't have a massive financial cost. You can make some smallish changes, which actually have huge knock-ons for the rest of the lactation. And I guess our own unit here at Nottingham also has a nice example there. So as many people might know, we put a new milking cow unit up about 2 years ago. So at that point, we didn't change the transition cow facilities because they were actually a relatively strong point of the old system. The milking cow group had really been the pinch point, but having stepped up substantially in terms of production and a little bit in terms of herd size since we moved into the new milking cow building, our transition groups are now starting to become a pinch point. So we've got just about the space that we wanted at our old level of yield to cope with the numbers we've got now, but we're starting to get short of space and we're really thinking, you know, yield's gone up. We really want to increase the allocation of space per cow. So we're shortly hoping to be able to do a bit of a space grab from a straw storage barn to just take off a couple of bays of that, dedicate those to a transition group or two transition groups possibly. We currently have three other smallish transition pens that kind of 10, 12 cows per pen. If we are able to take that to four or five pens and add a little bit more space, we're also hopeful we can go to an all-in, all-out system. So rather than have cows kind of joining the transition group and that be a continuously changing group, we're hoping to move to a system where we can start off a transition pen, fill it with the next cows kind of at 3 weeks pre-calving, and that group stay together as a socially stable population and carve out of that pen. So there's nothing particularly wrong with our current transition cow accommodation. It's just about now things have moved on a bit for the rest of the herd. What can we do to reprioritise our resources a little bit and try and make the best of them to give those cows the absolute best care we can give them? I should also say you can do some really good stuff with this area in block calving herds as well. So those were both kind of year-round calving, quite high input, high output type units. We work a lot with spring carvers, particularly in the East Midlands. We have quite a few people on that system and we work with them quite a bit. And often there is some really good stuff that you can do along the same lines in that type of system. So although, you know, conventionally we think about transition management, particularly for year-round calving, high-yielding herds, you can make some really big wins in block carvers too.
By the sounds of it, it's a bit of a moving feast. The bottleneck changes depending on how you develop things. So as a farmer, I'd be interested in resources on this. And I understand you've been working with AHDB to develop the new in-calf resource. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Sure. This is designed to be a resource that will help farmers step through how they decide where they should focus to improve reproductive management in their herds. So it covers things like how you collect and use your data to try and decide what area you could focus on to improve, what sort of targets you should be aiming at, how you can benchmark current performance and decide if and where there's scope to make things better. And then there's a lot of detail about the specific areas that kind of contribute to reproductive performance. So things like heat detection and factors affecting conception rate are covered in a lot of detail there. And it's a really nice all-round resource for farmers looking to improve fertility. And in acknowledgement of the fact that that can be, you know, fertility management is quite different for year-round versus block calving herds, there are separate versions of the resource that cover those two systems.
Well, thank you, Chris. This sounds like a valuable resource. And thank you so much for your time today.
No problem, Steve. Thank you very much. And thanks again for inviting me.
Ah, you're very welcome. So thank you. Any farmers who wish to book a place on any of AHDB's events, and I know we have some as it stands to date on transition coming up, please either email ke.events@ahdb.org.uk or call 01904771216. And for resources, you can access these via AHDB's knowledge library on the website or contact your local knowledge exchange manager. You've been listening to a podcast brought to you by AHDB, and thank you for your attention.
The AHDB podcast. Subscribe now so you don't miss future episodes.